found my wired Xbox 360 controller. It was hiding among the half-dozen, half-broken original Xbox controller that I've amassed. And thank the good Lord, because those things are like fucking gold. I was looking for it just to play. I want to play Condemned 2 Bloodshot, which is not on, there's no easy way to get it on like PC or whatever. So I was like, all right, so we're going to fire up the 360. I've out of any system, any console, I probably have the most games besides PC, but I mean, out of like any console, I probably have the most 360 games by far. I have like fucking two racks full of them. So I'm just thinking, like, well, I need a fucking 360 controller anyway to play that, so I gotta get one eventually. But I want a real one, and I'm looking online to order another one, and they're $150 fucking dollars. Like, it's ridiculous. Do you believe that? $150 for an Xbox, like a real Microsoft one. They're the same price as like a brand new Xbox One Elite controller. I'm talking like the real official Microsoft ones. You can get like a number of shitty off-brand 360 type controllers, but they're going to be garbage in one way or another. You know, you get what you pay for. And then I'm like, all right, well, let me check out, make sure my 360 still works. I turn it on, it doesn't turn on. What the fuck? The power supply. I had to get new power supplies. I have fucking no idea what happened. Like, what, another cord? Just like the PS2 cord I threw away. I think I threw away the 360 one too. What are you gonna do? That was like $15. So that's fine. But that's why the Grunt Free Press podcast will always be free. Because you get what you pay for. All 222 episodes of it. The best place to find them is at www.gruntfreepress.com. If you do happen to find a better place, you can email us at podcast@gruntfreepress.com, because I want to know about it. Try me. Let me know. I'm Absolute Deicide, and we are balls deep in the proverbial pumpkin patch in this, the most holy of seasons, Spooktober, formerly Silly Samhain. Until the caveman learned how to brew pumpkin beer, and the rest was history. So I played a bad indie horror game, because those are rare, really tough to find those, I know. I think we're down to a couple hundred of them releasing every day on Steam. Last I checked, it's a real dry spell for them. This one in particular was called Lost in Vivo, and much like the recent Man of Medan, I'm pretty sure that's just a nonsense title that has nothing to do with anything. I don't know what the fuck Lost in Vivo means. So this game here, Lost in Vivo, was, I think it was algorithmically recommended to me through, like, YouTube videos and all these fucking, like, scariest video games of all time lists and, general internet trendiness. If you start looking for, like, oh, it's some scary games to play, like, I don't know, fucking this game comes up, or I saw it anyway. Which is always a mistake to pay attention to what's popular on the internet. The internet trendiness is usually not a good metric. So what sold me on this anyway in particular is I was reading some of the the brief descriptions of the game, and just some article, whatever, probably like Steam reviews and shit, and it's just, I keep seeing like, Lost in Vivo, it's the closest we're gonna get to a new Silent Hill. Which, of course, makes my ears perk up. I'm like, oh, really? Do this? I'll fucking check it out. And that's also usually a mistake to pay attention to, the internet reviews and shit. So, or also a good one is the YouTube videos with titles like, You know, no, seriously, guys, you know, this is scary. Like, seriously, like, OMG, like, 100 emojis and anime GIFs scary on your fucking thumbnail. Googly eyes and someone holding up their hand in front of the, you know, right to the front of the thumbnail. That kind of scary. So that I'll listen to. I mean, if you get somebody holding their hand up, on your thumbnail, I mean, I gotta click on it. It's just, that's gotta be important. It's gotta be entertaining. So yeah, Lost in Vivo looks like garbage. It's going for a PlayStation 1 aesthetic, and it almost achieves that. Like, it almost does well in that style of trying to look like a PS1 game. But I mean, the end result is really that it's just overwhelmingly brown looking and boring. The environments might as well be one long, just endless sewer level. I mean, the monsters are, I'm pretty sure they're unintentionally goofy looking and not scary. I mean, I'm sure they're supposed to be like, you know, again, if we're going for, I was going to be like a PS1, but it's like, yeah, some PS1 shit, like, it didn't look that bad. Like, it looks pretty bad. And, you know, even if they did make like a perfectly emulated PS1 experience, like, oh, this is good, like, you know, we made a new PS1 game, you could burn it and burn it to a disc and play it on a PS1. That's how authentic it is. Even if they did do that, who the fuck wants that? Like, well, why would you want to fucking play that? I mean, the those games will look awful for the most part. The games from that era that are still worth playing today, like the original Silent Hill, shit like that. I mean, those are classics because you just have to, you know, you still have to put them in like historical context, like the consciously. Like, to do it now in modern times that we live in, to consciously make like a bad looking game, like, oh, I'm going for a PS1 game, a PS1 look. You could do that, but I think it would take some technical and artistic genius to take that style and use that well enough to make the game scary. I mean, make it a horror game to make it scary or whatever you're going for, you know? And then the creators of Lost in Vivo, I'm going to go out on a limb and say they're probably not geniuses. Like, this isn't like an artistic, like, fucking, like, oh, this is so good. And it's, it doesn't quite, it just comes off as annoying to look at, kind of, and play, and hear also. So, I mean, it's just like an annoying game, which is, goes in line with, it's like a YouTube popular game. It always gets surprised. It's annoying. So one of the most obnoxious sounds I can think of is that fucking, in general, I'm saying, one of the most obnoxious things I've ever heard is that fucking deformed baby from Eraserhead. But, I mean, that movie, Eraserhead, supposed to be uncomfortable and offbeat and weird. It's a David Lynch movie. It's a David Lynch thing. Whatever the mood they were going for in that scene, for listening to that baby squeal for 10 minutes, I think just kills the entire movie for me. Like, I don't like fucking Eraserhead. Where it's like, oh, that's supposed to be off-putting. It's like, well, okay, well, congratulations, it is. I mean, it put me off the entire fucking movie. Like, now it's just fucking never, I think people are like, oh, dude, Eraserhead, or it's like, oh, is that movie good? I'm like, fucking, nope, not watching that, dude. You're the fucking stupid baby. It just makes me mad. Like, it fucking annoys me. And yeah, ruins the whole movie. So I bring that up for a couple reasons. If you remember the Eraserhead baby from P.T., which was another, oh, is it going to be the next Silent Hill thing that also sucked? It did, like, that, the baby in fucking PT, like, at least it didn't cry, like, in the movie, thankfully, but it talked at you, which was just stupid. Like, this isn't annoying, it's just fucking stupid, this fucking stupid talking deformed baby. It's just dumb. So how weird, you know? whoa, fucking talking deformed baby thing talking. I'm freaked out. It's just dumb. Well, anyway, so Lost in Vivo just rips that off like that, like, copy of a copy type thing from PT. If it goes kind of like the Eraserhead, but it talks, it's like, well, that's just what's in Lost in Vivo. Same thing, you know, the identical looking PT Eraserhead baby talking in an English accent. It's like 3 degrees of piss poor concepts that just make me hate everything when I fucking see it and play. Like, play a game of this, like, dude, come on, like, fucking, you're gonna take like the shittiest part of Eraserhead and then a dumb part from a bad game and like, all right, let's copy that. So here it is in Lost in Vivo. It's not like a little part. It's not even like a, you know, like a homage or like a fucking little Easter egg. It's not like, oh, that's the thing that kind of looks like PT is there for a second and it's gone. It's like a recurring character that is one of the few NPCs with dialogue in the game. It may be the only NPC in dialogue that actually, you know, with dialogue in the game. Spoken dialogue that talks to you. Now that I think about it, like, that might be the only thing that you interact with that can talk back in Lost in Vivo. So the entire soundscape of the game, I just think it's fucking obnoxious. Not the music. I'm not talking about the music in the game, but actually they have a couple good piano tracks in there, and those aren't. It's like, oh, it's a pretty good, like, you know, sound, so like the soundtrack. I'm just talking like the ambient sound, the, you know, there's a whole lot of screeching they do. Once again, if they're going for, it's like, they're trying to go for Silent Hill. I mean, Silent Hill does have like some repetitive, like droning, kind of like off-putting sounds that, really get under your skin as you play that game, you know? And it's like, they're going for the, but Silent Hill, it's expertly crafted and paced, and the, you know, the sound fucking like builds up when the fucking the rest of the game does, and the story does, you know, it gets it builds up gradually, and right when you can't take it anymore, like right where you're like, oh my god, this is getting like kind of like under my skin, it's getting fucking like annoying, like all the fucking like the scratching and screeching and the fucking like, you know, mechanical sounds like going, it's like, oh, and then like, you know, it's like, oh my god, I can't take this, you know what I mean? Then like once you're there, then it stops, you know what I mean? Like once you get, again, it goes with the gameplay that you're doing. They couldn't pull that off in Lost in Vivo. You know, you see a shitty looking monster and it's just like immediately just, it's just full blown ear piercing screeching until you kill every fucking monster in the room or you just leave the room, then it stops. And, you know, if you want to contrast that to like the subtle, unique, iconic, like, you know, the staticky radio from Silent Hill, you know, you get the idea, like Silent Hill, you'd see a, whenever there was a creature near, the radio would start getting static, and then, you know, you'd kill them and the static would stop or whatever. And it would get louder or softer depending on how close they were. And you could use that as like a measurement or whatever, like a tool to figure out if there's something in the room. And, Lost in Vivo, just fucking like, oh, there's a monster in the room and fucking, you know what I mean? He's fucking just screeching and shit. It's like, fucking Jesus Christ, dude. So yeah, I mean, they pull from some other horror games as well, like the fourth wall breaking fake glitches and, you know, the errors and shit from, Eternal Darkness, which is a GameCube game. So to stick to a theme here, I mean, you're trying to make like a PS1 era horror game. If you're gonna do that for Lost, just make a PS1 era horror game. You know, you get a, you know, the game shows you like a fake, oh, your game has been deleted, game save deleted message, which, I mean, I'm playing it on PC, so that makes no fucking sense, generally. Like, you wouldn't see that on a fucking PC game. And, you know, it's just fucking the experience of playing it. It's like, this came out on PC, you know what I mean? It's not like fucking, it's not a console game. So, if that happened. Like, it was like, oh, the game is like, oh, I've been playing this game for a few hours that I paid $2 for, the fucking whatever it was, I don't know, maybe like $5. But yeah, if you just saw, like, there's like the shitty indie horror game on Steam, the saves got deleted, it would just be like, oh, you know, this game's fucking broken. It's fucking dog shit. It's you know, I wouldn't think like, oh, my system's fucked up, my PC's fucked up. Which is, you know, that's what worked with Eternal Darkness, because it's just fucking, it's like, oh, you're on a, you know, a closed system and shit like that. You know, if that would happen, what would you do, you know? Yeah, there's another little fourth wall thing that gives you these Unity errors. Like, a message pops up saying there's something wrong with the Unity engine that the game's running on. Which, I mean, that's a little closer to what would make sense in this, but it kind of the same thing. Where if that was an actual glitch, I mean, I've played plenty of Unity engine games on, you know, on fucking PC. As, you know, there's a ton of them. It's pretty common fucking engine for them to use, and I've never seen an error message like that. So if that's what they were going for, of like, oh, you've seen fucking shit like this before, like corrupt. It's like, I don't, like, I've never seen that either, but. That did happen, I just assume it was bad programming on this fucking indie game and stop playing it, and I would say the game sucked, which I'm kind of doing now anyway. But I mean, there are, like, I think there are real glitches in the game, in the fucking Lost in Vivo. It's like, guys, oh, they're trying to, like, pull off this fourth wall, like, oh, wouldn't it be crazy if there was a glitch in this game? Like, one of the great things about Unity Engine games is they give you a pop-up before the game starts, so it's like you can set your resolution and the graphic settings and all that shit. Like, I actually do love that. It's just not like I've had problems before where you set up these games and it's fucking like, oh, here's, like, fucking, oh, we're gonna throw you right into it, isn't this crazy? Like, fucking no title screen, like, oh, here you go, or fucking whatever, you know. It takes you half an hour to do some tutorial before they give you the fucking, like, settings. Unity games I do like, it's just fucking, they pop up of, like, here, like, what's your resolution that you want? Like, what fucking settings do you want? Like, here's, like, just, like, a pop-up thing, and then you just press play and it plays. Like, I like that quite a bit. But so I picked fucking, you know, 1440p for Lost in Vivo, like, you know, my native monitor resolution or whatever. And yeah, some of the screen is just cut off completely, like, just fucking, like, parts of it are cut off, like, in the menus. I can't see, like, the bottom thing. I'm assuming it's quit every time. So it just fucking is, you can, you know, go down the menu list. It's like there's no quit option. And then it's like, all right, well, I can't see one, but I'm assuming if I go down one, it's going to be quick. And it was, you know what I mean? So I did it like that. But that also makes, because some of the screens cut off, it makes the maps useless. So it's just shit like that. It was like, yeah, maybe you should have fixed, like, the unintentional bugs first before you get cued about, like, oh, these fake glitches in our game. It's like, oh, you better make sure that fucking the rest of your shit's fucking, like, perfect, like, perfectly polished, but it's not, you know what I mean? So what is Lost in Vivo, you may be asking yourself at this point, as I was lost in Ranty Town. So Lost in Vivo, it's a first-person game where you, it starts out, you're taking your polygon dog for a walk, and then the dog gets washed down a drain pipe, and then you spend the rest of the game wandering around sewers trying to save him. And that's about it. You do get weapons, you know, like pistols and shotguns and knives. The combat's bad. Most of the creatures that you fight phase through walls, or they're just big, dumb-looking cockroaches that'll hide on the ground around corners and nip at your feet as soon as you walk by. that shit's really annoying. No health bar. They give you no health. If they do give you health bar, again, it's fucking cut off from the screen where you can't see, so I have fucking no idea. No health bar, there's no auto saves. Instead, they give you these Resident Evil style save rooms Kind of. I mean, they don't look like the Resident Evil save rooms. They look more like the Castlevania Symphony of the Night save rooms with fucking, I don't know, those spinning like ball, like, you know, I don't know, the spinning fucking ball things, red fucking spinning things, and you fucking save it and go, the screen goes red and all that. Maybe that's what they're going for. It's like, oh, let's throw a Castlevania Symphony of the Night reference in here because that's also an old video game reference that was on game that was on PS1, but it's not even in the same genre, but whatever. So I'm trying to be fair because, you know, Lost in Vivo was one of those short free demos that people liked. You know, it's fucking, it's one of these things that alpha beta gamer probably did, and it's on fucking, you know, itch.io and fucking like whatever. So yeah, it's one of those games that, you know, those free demos, and people played it and they're like, fucking like, oh, this is great. They want a full game of it. So, they took it, you know, took what they had of the demo, and I'd say from playing it, maybe artificially expanded it. So maybe that's why it's just kind of so dull walking down sewer tunnels and having your ears raped every 5 seconds. But just don't play it. I mean, that's probably it's probably fucking popular as like a fake ass YouTube screamer horror game, I'm sure. If that's your thing, if that's what you're going for, if that's what you like, any horror, just fucking like, just kind of shallow, just fucking, you know, walking down, going down sewer tunnels, and then fucking just stupid shit pops out at you and fucking screams at you and screeches. If that's, then you go, or whatever, yell and record yourself and say it's scary. If that's your thing, go for it. Or watch those gay videos, really. But maybe do that, but don't play it yourself. It's too spooky, really. That's what I'm trying to hide here. I'm really scared of it. So spooky that it's a joke. You know, you'd have to be a real joker to buy it, you would say. I said a joker. Though I don't know if you really want to classify Joker as a horror movie, but I don't know, like people say, it's in the category of like, is Silence of the Lambs a horror movie? Some people say yes. I personally don't, but some people do. So fuck it, we're gonna talk about Joker. I went and saw it. No, I paid $14 to go see it, so let's get some mileage out of that. Joker is a legitimate cultural phenomenon where it broke box office records for the month of October, and you know, every Dick, Jane, and Harry has a take on it because you know, because this show here that we're on is so culturally relevant, we're contractually obligated to review it. Hence why I'm claiming that $14 on my tax returns. So I've really seen like these two extremes when it comes to Joker. It's either I've read reviews and seen shit where it's either a masterpiece or it never should have been made in the first place, and your soul will be damned to hell if you see it. As usual, I think that the truth lies somewhere in between. It has been interesting hearing all the hot takes, most of which are bullshit, but you can, if you actually just see it yourself, you can pick out the bits and pieces from the various fucking professional propagandists and fucking like just piece together like oh yeah, that like that's sort of true, like this little bit here, and oh, I never thought about that. But you know, your insistence to put every minute detail in the movie into like some political prism absolutely stinks. You know what I mean? And some of them, like you see, like fucking, like everybody wants to get in on it. So all these fucking, you know, sites and podcasts and all that who want to just do politics or whatever. They're like, fucking, like, oh, we have to talk about the Joker. It's culturally relevant or it's fucking politically relevant. And, you know, once you start doing that, you just see it's like, hey, you know, you're fucking a retard dermis is showing. That, I mean, that's from like both sides, really. It doesn't, I'm not even saying like one or the other, like left or right, like politically. It's just fucking both of them do it, and it's both like, oh, that's really dumb. Like your take is really dumb on that. You know, you see like fucking like I've read like, oh, it's a far left movie and it mocks the left, or it's a conservative movie and it's about the Joker's about what happens when a city comes under Democrat control. And it's like, no, it's not. It's not what the fucking movie's about at all. You know, it's just about a fucking, you know, time. Joker's actually, it's like a modern movie, very modern movie. And it's an artsy movie. What I mean by that is it's not some trendy, like, check all the boxes so people know it was made in 2019. Designed by committee, blockbuster. You know, it's a very small scale, focused over 2 hours of just fucking focusing on like just one guy's fucking life, his mental issues. There's no CGI in it. I don't think there's any of that. There's just fucking barely any fucking special effects or anything. very fucking sparse action. A lot of dialogue in it. It's the definition of a slow burn. It's Joaquin Phoenix's movie, really. It's just what it is. It's him. You know, it's up to him to keep you from getting bored for, you know, two plus hours. And he succeeds for the most part. But you still get like that uncomfortable squirm in your seat kind of art host douchiness of like fucking, it's like, oh, I'm watching this guy do a performance, you know what I mean? It's like, oh, here's an actor acting. I'm watching this guy like dance around, or I've been looking at him looking at his face like way too close for too long. Some of that's like intentional to make you, you know, you're supposed to get a little, you're too close to him. It's like too intimate. And you're supposed to get kind of like uncomfortable. Like I get that. Like that's like a movie thing. I'm just saying like just the general, like I'm watching this. This is a guy just like acting, you know what I mean? Like, I mean like the unavoidable fruitiness of acting and like show business as a whole. And just fucking like here's like a, like an arty fucking art house character study, you know what I mean? It's fucking like, all right, this guy is like doing his thing, which again, he's great. Like Joaquin Phoenix does a great job. It's still, but at the end of the day, it's still acting. You know what I mean? It's still like, yeah, it's kind of what it is. What are you gonna do? But because the entire movie is so insular, it was just about a dude, fucking Arthur Fleck, and you're following him through the series of events that shapes his personality, you know. It's just fucking like this is him going through his thing. So any political events that happen in the movie, I mean, there's like, it starts off where there's a garbage strike going on, there's a mayoral race, and there's, you know, protests and fucking movements and fucking media slogans and kill the rich and blah blah blah, like all that shit's going on. But the movie's like not about, like, it's not a movie about that. Like, it doesn't even follow any of that shit, really. That's just like in the background as Arthur is like going, doing his thing. And Arthur could give a fuck less about them unless like that affects him personally, you know. If it's not part of, if it's not like affecting his life, it's fucking like whatever. He doesn't care. He's not going out there protesting. So despite it being the origin story of a comic book supervillain, it gets that aspect of how people live their lives more realistically than most. Yeah, I would say like most movies where it's like, this is supposed to be his thing. You know, he's going to get into fucking, he's going to be the Joker eventually, but it's just fucking like, oh, his life, it just seems more, portray it more real. You know what I mean? Than fucking like most movies that are supposed to be like real. Like it's not even, you know, Arthur's a middle-aged guy who, both get dealt a crappy hand in life, and he keeps fucking up himself. So, you know, he works as a rent-a-clown, and he actually likes doing it, but he gets fired after he brings a gun to a children's cancer ward, a gun that he was carrying to protect himself from getting beat up by teenage hoodlums. The gun falls out, and fucking, you know, his boss finds about it and fires him. He still lives with his elderly, deranged mother. Then he gets obsessed with women if they even, like, touch him, you know, or give him, like, the time of day. Like, he is fucking starts having daydreams about them. So, yeah, I mean, I really found myself identifying with him to pull it just to pull at one string of the controversy manufactured by the over-educated retards in the media. So, you know, there were these fucking faux outrages about how Joker justifies white male fucking incel violence. So, first off, I mean, there's nothing about race in the movie in Joker at all. Like, it's not even, there's not a thing. Like, it's just fucking nothing about it, about race at all. Nada, nothing. Which is, and that's part of the reason why it feels so modern. It takes place in a post-racial world, which is, yeah, I was fucking, oh, well, it has to, they had to make up like a fake fucking, it was going to take place in a fake city for it to make it. It's like, no, it's just, they have to get away from the bullshit, you know? It's the fucking post-racial world that we live in today, in America at least, where nobody fucking really cares about fucking skin color outside of the fucking media. Like, nobody cares. And they haven't for about 30 years. They had to make a fucking fake New York City to escape the trappings of the fake race baiting that's every other piece of fucking entertainment produced in recent memory. You know what I mean? It's like, oh, they had to make a fake city to fucking make it seem not racist. It's like, no, they had to make a fake city to fucking, you know, get away from the fake shit that everybody's like programmed. You know what I mean? Like, if you saw a movie, like, to look through that lens of, like, oh, why didn't they fucking, to avoid, like, why didn't they fucking address race in that scene? Or why do they have to be a fucking black person that did this or that? It's like, no, it's like, let's just scrub that. It's like, nope, this isn't fucking New York. You know what I mean? It's fucking, this is Gotham City, which is a more like, again, it's like a more realistic, depiction of New York City than fucking any, you know what I mean, than fucking whatever Sex in the City, you know what I mean. It's just fucking like, I don't know, man. I mean, if you watch Joker, it's like a refreshingly reflective of how people, like normal people, like, interact with each other. And then if you read, like, something afterward, then it's like, fuck, like, it's like, oh, that's great how they did that. And it's like, obviously nobody could fucking put, like, you can't fucking knock this movie for being, like, anything about to do with fucking, like, you know, racism or race or anything. And then you fucking, then you do, you know, then you read something afterwards about the racist undertones of the fucking movie, and it's like the people who write those articles usually sound fucking ridiculous, but just in this case, it's like it's funny, like it's like glaringly fucking ridiculous of what they're doing. There was one review in, like, the New Yorker that was almost like exclusively fucking pegging Joker about how it's like, oh, you know, it's just recreating and glorifying these quote unquote hate crimes that happened in New York. And it's just like, dude, what the fucking movie were you watching? Because it's fucking, it's like, oh, you know, your own fucking mental illness is laid bare, like the niggers they are, you know? I was going to delete my Activision Blizzard account in solidarity with the Hong Kong protests. I remember Call of Duty's coming out in like a couple weeks, so I want to play that. It looks pretty good. But so anyway, back to the Joker. So I will say, you know, if I guess, as much as like, oh, you know, yeah, taking bits and pieces out of the various bad takes, bad reads on the movie. Surprisingly, I will say, IGN actually put out a fucking they've been decent about like they've had some like their review is pretty. Again, I don't think it's a 10 out of 10, but even beyond that, they just put out like some article where each of, you know, probably a dozen or so editors were going through giving like, you know, their read on it, like their what they thought was real or not in the movie, and, you know, shit like that. And it, that was actually pretty good. A few of them just hearing the different takes, and I'll get to that later though. But so a lot of the fucking really bad takes was, you know, it fucking justifies like fucking, oh, it's like, you know, incel violence. But I think the movie does kind of justify or lower, you know, lower class loner fucking outcast violence. That I can see. Maybe like justify isn't the right word. It humanizes people like that, maybe. Because I don't know, I wouldn't say again the same, like, oh, it's incel violence, but incel is just the modern day word for nerd or loser. And this is about like, hey, you know, here's this guy's story, you know, the fucking weird guy on the bus, the guy who fucking bombed at an open mic, you know, the one who was super awkward in the fucking, you know, when he tried to hit on you in the elevator or whatever, and fucking, you know, the one you just kind of, there's the weird guy and that's all you think about him. But so, you know, that guy has an entire existence beyond that interaction that you had with him, where you just think like, oh, this guy's weird, then you forget about it or whatever. But it's like, oh, no, this guy lives a life, you know, beyond that, and like here's following him. And maybe, you know, the guy's life is this fucking series of mental and social problems and gaffes and misunderstandings. And, you know, here's a movie about that, you know, when fucking it's like, oh, people say after like a shooting or something, like a mass shooting, like, oh, you seem, you know, the trope is fucking usually that, but it happens all the time. Like, oh, you seem like a normal guy. You seem like a nice guy or whatever. And then it's fucking like, no, well, here's like all the shit that, you know, that happened to him, that, you know, that again justifies maybe, but it's just fucking to a point. But it's just like fucking like, well, he's kind of like backed into a corner with nothing, you know, nothing to lose, nothing to fucking gain, and just fucking like, what are you gonna, you know, that's what it is. Here's a story about that. And it's hard for people to understand that other people have different life experiences than them. Even though, again, a lot of the whole fucking woke bullshit is about fucking like, oh, you know, you have to, you know, accept other people's differences and accept their fucking experiences or whatever. But of course, with that, it's just like fucking only certain ones that, you know, certain aspects that fit fucking our fucking side, our agenda. But it's like fucking like, hey, there's a whole nother fucking thing. If I got, maybe people are just fucking mentally ill, like a lot of those people that you think are just fucking like, oh, they're just like us, but it's a guy who thinks he's a lady or whatever the fuck. It's like fucking like, well, maybe not, like maybe that's just part of it, and the rest of their life is just fucking like complete garbage, you know what I mean? It's not fucking that simple. But yeah, this is fucking just like in your face, like this monster is also very human, and everything that turned him into a monster wasn't completely just like his own. It's not like, oh, he made bad choices in life. It's also just fucking like, well, all the shit happened to him that compounded that, you know what I mean? It's fucking like, oh, here's what it is, you know what I mean? This is what happened. So another movie that did that, of course, was Taxi Driver, which Joker has to be compared to at every turn, or at least it did until it came out and people saw it. They can't really get away with, oh, it's just Taxi Driver. It's like, no, it's not. You know what I mean? It's fucking, it's an influence for sure, but it's not fucking, but I mean, Taxi Driver is one of my favorite movies ever. It's up there with fucking, you know, with that, with Taxi Driver, like maybe this exposes my own fucking mental illness, but I never saw fucking Travis Bickle as like a bad guy. I've heard that mentioned constantly. I just thought it was like fucking like, oh, he's a lonely dude who tried to fucking make the city a better place from how he saw it. It was just fucking, this is just a garbage city and fucking try to clean it up and, you know what I mean? But by washing the scum off the streets like rain. Thematically, yeah. I mean, you could say it's like, yeah, Joker's like a similar thing, but it's inspired by Taxi Driver's tone and style, but the stories is just like so far removed from that. By saying like, oh, Joker's just a rip off of Taxi Driver, it's just like so dismissive and just like hand wavy. Fucking like, oh, I don't know, dude. It's like the most like shorthand bullshit way of like describing it. Of like, oh, there's a couple things you can compare to Taxi Driver, so therefore it's like, oh, Joker's just Taxi Driver. It's like, no, no, it's not, dude. So yeah, you know, it's one of those criticisms that I think started with the, you know, the director probably said like, oh yeah, you know, I was influenced by clearly I was influenced by Taxi Driver, you know what I mean, in making it, sure. But then that gets telegraphed into fucking like, oh, it's just, you know, it's Taxi Driver, but with the Joker, like that's the movie. And then fucking like that goes into like, oh, the Joker is just, it's like a straight remake of Taxi Driver. To the point where if I heard one more person say like, oh, dude, why am I even going to go see fucking Joker, dude? Why wouldn't I just watch fucking Taxi Driver instead? Lol. It's like, I was going to like stab them in the fucking eye with a pair of scissors if I fucking heard that again. So I kept hearing that and just fucking like, dude, shut up. Like, it's not at all a thing. So, I mean, they also use some beats and tropes from other movies too. Like, you know, it's like, you know, it's like, ah, that like, this is inspired by, or at least an influence by, like, you know, Fight Club or like The Usual Suspects. So why weren't those people saying like, you know, it's like, oh, go watch fucking those movies instead. Like those other movies that they kind of like took pieces from and said, well, why not just watch that? It's like, all right, because this happened before the movie was even out when you hadn't seen the fucking movie yet. Somehow you fucking conflated the origin story of a homicidal clown building himself up to eventually fight Batman, and just like took that to be like fucking like, oh, it's just the same thing as a movie about a fucking Vietnam vet snapping and killing some pimps, you know, because you saw it on Twitter. And it's just fucking, that was, again, that was like the trendy internet thing to say is fucking, dude, Joker's just fucking, no, just like Taxi Driver, dude. That's my fucking, I'm a genius. I figured that one out. You know what I mean? Gotcha. So, so yeah, the whole Batman thing, that's obviously has to do a little bit with Batman. It was fucking the Joker. So I actually changed my opinion about that probably 2/3 of the way through the movie. Like at first I'm like, it starts out basically nothing to do with fucking Bruce Wayne or anything. I didn't really see any reason to have like any kind of Batman ties in there at all. You know, if you're gonna do, it's just like, yeah, if you're gonna do like this intimate film about a guy with fucking mental health problems, and you have to give it that trip, like they trick the fucking mainstream audiences into watching like an art fag movie about fucking like mental health. If you're gonna do that, it's like, oh, cool, great. You just call the Joker, and the guy just happens to fucking, you know, paint his face like the Joker and his hair green or whatever, and cool, like that's it. Like, that's fucking pretty brilliant. Just fucking let it go. Just leave the comic book shit alone. Period. Just let it go. You know, just let it fucking dangle out there. Like that's pretty good. Then there's a plot twist where Arthur thinks that Thomas Wayne, Batman's father, Bruce Wayne's father, he thinks that he's also his father, meaning that fucking the Joker and Batman are brothers. And like, as soon as that comes up, it's just fucking like, fuck, like, this is going to be, seems kind of dumb. Like, if they do this, this is going to be like a dumb fucking like twist. Like, there's no reason for this again to do like the, it's almost like the Star Wars, like, you're making your fucking universe too small, where it's fucking like your two main characters are like related. And, So yeah, Arthur Fleck goes to Wayne Manor, and it's fucking, it's like, oh, Bruce Wayne's there, fucking little kid Bruce Wayne playing in the yard. And he goes up there and he kind of like pinches his cheek and fucking like puts his fucking, you know, manhandles him a little bit. Then he goes and confronts Thomas Wayne in the bathroom. And I was kind of like rolling my eyes at that. It was fucking, it's like, oh man, this, again, it's just a little too much. But then there's another twist on that later, which I found rather interesting. You know, the whole fucking, they get into like the Batman origin story thing. That's the scene that has to be in everything fucking Batman related, that everyone's sick of seeing, where, you know, his parents are shot in an alley near a fucking movie theater, and his mother's, you know, the guy fucking grabs his mother's pearls and they break, and, you know, they fall to the ground and all that shit. That's in there too, which I've fucking, like, I don't know, I remember the last Batman thing I fucking saw or fucking played being like, why is this in everything? Dude, like, I was so sick of fucking seeing this. But the twist is, I guess, fucking spoilers, dude. I don't know if it's fucking everybody's seen this movie, who gives a shit. But it's not Arthur Fleck who shoots them in the alley. It's just a random thug who's in a clown mask. It's one of the fucking, you know, they have like these rioters. It's pretty much Antifa, which, I mean, they're making fun of Antifa kind of too, where it's just like, oh, they're all clowns. Like, it's just fucking all these idiot clowns. And it's just fucking like they're now they're just fucking wearing clown masks that all black. It's like they're wearing what they are. You know, it's fucking just clown masks. They're fucking clowns. So, you know, that adds a wrinkle where it's like, you know, the Joker didn't actually, he wasn't the one who physically killed fucking Batman's parents here, but in an indirect way, he kind of did, you know what I mean? It's somebody inspired by, or like outwardly appearing to be following him. Again, it's just, it could have been, you know, somebody who's just fucking, he would have done that anyway. He's just a fucking piece of garbage fucking thug who just would have shot these people in the alley anyway, no matter what. But maybe he's just fucking, oh, I'm going to put the clown mask on because this is how I can be anonymous to do the shit I was going to do anyway. So, I mean, if you're to go forward with that, you know, in this fucking Batman universe of the Joker movie, so, you know, is Bruce Wayne, is he blaming the idea of the Joker, or just like the symbol, the movement that he inspired? Like, is he blaming that on his parents' deaths, or, you know, so, you know, you either have to be fighting an ideology and like media effects that, you know, the fucking media is the fucking like hyped him up or hyped the fucking movement up that led to this. So it's like, would he be fighting that? Like, that would that be his fight in this fucking Joker Batman universe, you know, which would be, again, it would be more like cerebral, you know, interesting take on that. Or would he actually just blame the guy that, like, the man, like the you know, Arthur Fleck, you know, like, would he have the usual fucking rivalry there with him? Or, you know, would he, you know, would fucking Batman, would he be fucking his own like unreliable narrator in his fucking his story, you know what I mean, his story here? And would he remember, or just like, would he convince himself that it was Arthur that was there, like, you know, killing his parents, pulling the trigger, even though he wasn't, you know? And maybe, like, you know, Bruce Wayne is his own fucking mental illness that he's dealing with. So it's just fucking like real. I loved how they did that, actually. It's just like the two sides of like, oh, well, Batman's also crazy, you know what I mean? So it's just fucking whatever. Like, it just makes Batman a more fucking interesting character, even though he's not, you know, in the movie. It takes place before any of that shit happens. Yeah, just everything's just more. It's just more of a thing. It's more like cerebral than any other fucking like superhero movie that you know that's I've ever seen. You know, it's fucking because it's not a superhero movie really. Obviously, it's a thinker, and that's both to its benefit and its detriment. I think. It's more entertaining to discuss theories about, like, you know, specific scenes and, like, you know, sequences in the movie. It's like, oh, you know, are these real or are they in Arthur's head, or if the entire movie is like a fantasy, is the entire thing in Arthur's head, or how certain events like tie into various Batman films, and you know, it's like, oh, which Joker, you know, it's like, which fucking is this, like, the origin story of, it could go any way. Like, it could be fucking Heath Ledger's fucking Joker, where he's fucking just making shit up and he's just telling different stories, or it could be whoever. I mean, maybe not Jack Nicholson, but you know what I mean. Or again, it could be like Jack Nicholson, where in that, you know, the Tim Burton one, like, just fucking Batman's like crazy, and like, he, you know, he thinks that it was fucking Jack Napier or whatever who fucking like killed his parents, but it wasn't. It was fucking, you know, he's just misremembering, and fucking this whole Batman's whole thing and his rivalry is based on, like, a, you know, his lie. So I mean, like talking about that is more enjoyable than like sitting down and watching the actual movie. You know what I mean? Like that's the thing, because, you know, I like Joker, obviously, but I didn't. I wouldn't say that I loved it. I'm like, oh, I liked it. It's really good, but I don't think it's a masterpiece. Really, I think it's a pretty good art house film about, like, mental illness in modern society that happens to be about the Joker. I still think that The Dark Knight is a much better movie. Like, I think that's a fucking masterpiece. The Dark Knight, I think, is fucking great. Like, I'll watch that fucking, like, any day of the fucking week. Like, that movie's fucking phenomenal. The other two Batman movies in that trilogy, I think, suck. I think they're really fucking boring. But, you know, I'll probably fucking buy Joker when it comes out on demand or whatever and watch it, like, once or twice more, probably to piece together, like, stuff I missed, but... I don't know, it's just like, it's not the most engaging movie to sit through. Like, it's not like the most fucking intense experience that you're gonna see. You know, it's like some, like, the high emotion scenes, the tension or the horror or the drama that they're going for. It didn't, like, quite hit for me in some of them, so I was kind of, like, bored in certain spots of the movie. But, overall, I mean, you watch it, you think back on it, and, you know, it's fucking, it's really, as I said, it's really good. It's good. It's just fucking, you know, certain little details that they throw in there, like, you know, like, he's a fucking chain smoker, which, the current theory, I just actually thought of this, this, like, last night. Actually, it's been, like, a week since I fucking saw it. I was just, like, fucking, like, huh. You know, he's a chain smoker, and the fucking... you know, they say schizophrenics, so they'll chain smoke to, like, help self-medicate, and that helps them keep the voices in their head at bay. Like, it just fucking, like, calms them down or whatever, you know, it helps them out. So I'm thinking, like, maybe, again the debate is, oh, you know, what's fucking, what actually happened, what's real in the movie, and what's fucking Arthur's fantasy, or his fucking shit he's just telling to his psychiatrist at the end. I'm wondering, I want to watch it again with in mind that every time, like, he lights a butt, like, you know, every time he's smoking a butt, like, fucking, like, maybe, like, that's, like, the visual cue that's, the, like, without a doubt, like, this is a real scene, like, this actually happened when he's smoking a cigarette. It's interesting, again, you'd have to fucking watch it again. I'd have to watch it again to really see if that pans out, but it's one of those things, like, well, maybe that works, like, that's when he's fucking actually... smoking cigarettes, like, actually keeps him in reality, you know what I mean? So, that'd be interesting. So, I don't know. I don't know if that theory actually happens, that people chain smoke to keep the voices in their head fucking at bay. Maybe, who knows? So I played Dead Space 2, to keep this, nice and narcissistic. I was looking at my review for Condemned, And within that review, I said something about, I mentioned the Dead Space series and how the Dead Space series isn't really, they're not really horror games. They're action games with horror themes in them. Then when I went back and I played the first Dead Space a few months ago, I'm like, oh, this is a fucking fantastic, like, fucking horror. It's like a straight horror game, and, you know, the shooting in it was like, no, this is definitely a fucking, like, horror game. This is awesome. That I actually thought that the first Dead Space, I'm like, oh, this is up there as one of the best. Like, to, like, the first Dead Space is probably top 10 if we want to do internet clickbaity shit about it. And if we made lists, it'd probably be in the fake top 10 that I'm never going to do. So this is like, God, I don't know what the fuck I was talking about. Like, why would I say that after playing the first one? Chances are there I was talking about Dead Space 2 and maybe 3. The 3 was the one that was popular to shit on about his fucking, you know, 3. It's like, oh, they abandoned the series horror roots, but 2 wasn't much of a horror game either. Like, that's legitimately, it's like, oh, this is just like a shooter. Again, it's like, oh, no, this is definitely like an action shooter with fucking just horror shit going on in the back. It looks great, though. I mean, Dead Space 2 looks fucking phenomenal. I was really impressed with how well the graphics, you know, when I was playing the first Dead Space, I was like, oh, this game still looks fucking really good. But Dead Space 2 legitimately looks as good as any fucking game I think I've seen released today. Is fucking, it looks fucking really goddamn good. That's both praise for Dead Space 2 and also a question about why the graphics in games have stagnated so much in the past like 10 years or so. Probably something to do with, you know, VR and fucking everybody's doing open worlds and dumbing shit down for free to play games so people can play on their phones, and so many indie games that fucking people accept like bad graphics. So then, like, you know, the fucking AAA companies are just fucking like, oh, well, we can get away with not doing as much because people fucking play Minecraft or whatever. So who fucking cares? You know, blah, blah, blah. This is a fucking discussion for another day. So yeah, in Dead Space 2, you play as Isaac Clarke, the lone survivor engineer from the first game. The white guy with a black man's name. So yeah, you've been institutionalized after the famous space monster massacre on the planet cracker ship Ishimura. Apparently the alien marker thing that you got from space is that was the thing that was like the source of the thing that was the source of the thing like infectious outbreak was man-made, I guess. It was as part of some kooky religion / secret society that has millions of followers across the galaxy. And now that the Ishimura has returned, you know, they found the ship, they brought it back with the marker in tow. The same shit that happened there on the ship is now happening worldwide, or space-wide, rather. So, the sequel's fairly familiar. I mean, the controls and most of the weapons are basically the same. I really was using the plasma. Could I actually discover the fucking, the force gun's fucking pretty sick, too. This won't just like a shotgun. It's like the game's version of a shotgun. Before, I was more or less just fucking like, oh, you know, the first game. Like, oh, I'll use the plasma cutter. And like, the flamethrower seems cool, but wasn't that cool. I don't know if the force gun was even in the first one, but pretty powerful here. Pretty good. Like, shotgun just fucking sends out like a wave of shit like right in front of you and just fucking blasts like everything in like a radius around you and just fucking sends it flying and just rips fucking shit like rips limbs off and shit. It's pretty good. So yeah, I mean, it's basically the same deal as, you know, a third person game. You're running down hallways, you press like the left trigger to aim to go to like an over the shoulder aiming view, you know, Resident Evil style with fucking, you know, laser sight. The plasma cutter is your go-to, like, pistol equivalent. You have to dismember creatures to kill them, get their limbs off and get enough limbs off, and they die. You can move objects with telekinesis or slow them down with stasis. You have this upgrade tree for your suit and your weapons that is just very, like, damage upgrades, capacity upgrades, speed upgrades, and all that shit. But you have to find or buy these nodes in order to do that, and you use the nodes to unlock rooms. Also, you can, if you find, like, a room that's locked with a node, you can spend a node there to also get fucking just a bunch of money and shit. So, same, like, setup basically. The big difference is that they completely abandoned, like, the backtracking Metroidvania formula of the first game in favor of a more linear structure. You just fucking moving forward in Dead Space 2, just going set piece to set piece. Occasionally you'll find, like, a side hallway somewhere. It's like, I can go left a little bit until I get to a dead end, and there'll be, like, hidden nodes or, like, cash in there. But it's really just like a A to B roller coaster ride game, as opposed to Dead Space 1, which felt, it just felt like, it's just like, here's the ship, like, you're exploring the ship. It felt like it was a real place. You know what I mean? It's like a real place where you're exploring. It's got different levels. There's different fun. You're taking, like, the tram back and forth to these different areas. You get a lot of backtracking, a lot of fucking shit unlocking, and it felt real, like a real ship. A spaceship, a real fake deep space spaceship. Dead Space 2, it's more like you're just walking through a haunted house. You can stop and look at the sets for a few minutes and, like, admire the craftsmanship and, like, what the design and the fucking graffiti and fucking all the shit they have on the walls and fucking, like, oh, it looks cool. There's a school. It's kind of creepy. And you can look at all that shit, but ultimately you're just being funneled towards the exit the whole time. Like, as you go on, you're shooting shit along the way. And that's how I go through haunted houses ever since I saw Joker. So yeah, they throw clusters of enemies at you that have different patterns and weaknesses. Zombie guys who will spit acid or whatever at you, that if it hits you, it'll, like, slow you down. And these glowing baby balls that'll crawl at you and explode when they get too close. Children, which naturally you have to fucking blow them away when they come at you for hugs. I think it's Dead Space 2. It's an above average action game, but I think those mechanics, like the shooting controls, that felt like perfect in, like, a survival horror game. Like, you know what I mean? It's a fucking like in the first one, it was, like, this claustrophobic, just fucking kind of. Yeah, so survival horror, it wasn't really, the focus wasn't like, oh, we're making the shooting really good or whatever. It's just fucking like, oh, this feels great for a game. It's kind of, like, loose enough where it's fucking, it's not that, it is precise, but it's fucking, it's kind of awkward to fucking, like, aim and shoot a little bit. So it was just, like, not quite there that it would be considered an action game. But now it's like, oh, here's an action game with those mechanics, you know what I mean? So, it gets a little repetitive and predictable when you're fucking, you just move into the next room, clearing it out, and it's fucking like, it's like, all right, well, I'm willing to bet that shit's just gonna jump out of those fucking vents there, and then they'll, after that happens, I bet fucking enemies are just gonna spawn in behind me, and, oh, well, it's just like a big, like, circular area. It's like, I'm probably just gonna have, like, an arena fight here, and, you see shit coming. Like, sure enough, it's like, oh, yeah, of course, that's what's fucking happening. They have, like, the one-off mini games and, like, the real, like, fucking, like, set piece moments, the famous ones where you're guiding, like, a needle in your eye, like, trying to get it into your pupil, or the scenes where, your wife is haunting you through the whole game, where you just go into a room and she's, like, sitting there, and you know, staticky ghost, and she'll start screaming with lights coming out of her mouth and her eyes and her vagina. Those are okay, but you can't really get away with like comparing it to how well the first one just, you know, it's building up this slowly building up this atmosphere, and it earned all of the horror that it threw at you, like, organically, rather than, like, fucking, like, Dead Space. He was just like, here's a jump scare and some screaming, and here's some fucking gore, and, all right, just move on and go shoot some more stuff, and, I don't know, you're riding a fucking, fucking, like, giant machine, this fucking, here's, like, elevators, you know, here's, like, an elevator sequence where fucking just riding an elevator up and these fucking creatures are dropping down and shit, like, it's a fucking Streets of Rage or some shit, you know what I mean? So you could say it was trying to be, like, the aliens to the original's Alien. Maybe that's what they're going for, but it doesn't quite nail that. I still liked it, like, I still had fun. I'm like, it's a fun game, but it's just not really scary. I'm not like scary, it's just not like a particularly good like horror game. I mean they continue the story in some interesting ways where they're showing like it's like the marker, it's like this worldwide Lovecraftian apocalypse with fucking this cosmic end of days scenario. I mean, that's kind of cool, but again, it's just fucking like popcorn just fucking like running through hallways, and it's like cool strobe lights are happening and fucking the shit, and yeah, it's cool, it's a cool haunted house type game, but again, don't think it's as good as the first one, but it's still better than Event Horizon, so there you go. So I actually am curious to play fucking Dead Space 3 now, but I did like that game back when I played it. Most other people didn't, but yeah, most other people also say that Dead Space 2 is better than the first one, so, fucking, what do they know? Hopefully they know to go to www.gruntfreepress.com and send all of their emails to podcast@gruntfreepress.com, all of them. It's like a spooky switchboard. You send me your emails, I'll get them to where they want to go. Don't worry about it. I'm Absolute Deicide, and we're about halfway through this spook fest. Next week comes the big twist. The podcast was in your head the whole time, so ooh, spooky. Now I'm gonna go play with my kittens from hell.
Carter, the smile's just a frown. My makeup is dry. clouds. We don't serve.